Okay, so before we go back to our main sugya, we were left with this cliffhanger on Thursday. We were just about to come through with this grandiose pshat in Parshas Bahar, and then we had a Kiddush Hashem, the Rabbim, we had to hand over reins of our Shiru. So let's see if we can just, the kids of Nimrod, since there was a request from the Eilim to hear the end of the bar before we continue Shir. So the kids, we raised the question, is that it sounds very, very bizarre. If the mitzvah Yovel focuses on Yom Kippur, the halachic year begins on Rosh Hashanah, and in terms of the Isurei Avodas HaKarka, it does begin Rosh Hashanah. So why is somehow everything about that? Because I said this in the Shluch Avod, and why is everything put on hold to Yom Kippur? So the embassy is that Yovel is an unbelievable fish. It really defies logic, because anyone in business will tell you that you sold a field. You sold it. So the game's over. Finish. Come on. You made a bad mistake. Go put together money and try to buy back. Beg the guy to sell it back. He doesn't want it. So tough luck. Finish. Come on. Evan Ivry. A guy sold himself as Evan Ivry. Or he stole it. He ended up getting himself into trouble. And he ends up being sold as Evan Ivry. So he worked for 6 years. At the end of the 6 years, he willingly came forward and said, I want to stay forever and ever and ever and ever up on the island. So it's over already. Finish Gemara. The guy committed a lifetime commitment to servitude. Gemara, what do you want for the other anymore? The emphasis is that Midas Adin dictates there's no way to get your field back. Midas Adin dictates there's no way to get your everything back. You know, we don't run the world. We don't live our lives based on Midas Adin. Because I'll say, in the beginning, precious gracious. Gracious well, Kim, the world was supposed to be created with Midas Adin. That was the Tchila over Machshava. At Shirak, it is Baruch Shein Olam Miskayim, that the world can't stand on just pure Midas Adin. Vishikif from Midas Arachmim. V'yom HaShtayis HaShem L'Kim Eretz Shemayim. The Midas HaKadosh Baruch Midas Arachmim. Temper, so to speak, the Midas Adin. That transformation from Midas Adin to Midas Arachmim that occurred at Tchila's Bris HaOlam reoccurs every single year. When we reenact the events of Bris Olam and Hayom Haras Olam and Rosh Hashanah, we celebrate the world was created by Midas Adin, and therefore Rosh Hashanah is a Midas Adin as well. But we know that if it would only be for Rosh Hashanah, we would be in big trouble, because most of us are Beinanim, and Beinanim, Rosh Hashanah, we don't get the Ksiva, the Le'al Techem, the Tavu Shalom, and Rosh Hashanah. So we would really be Tchuva Eimlin forever. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Gevaldik Baruch, he gave us the Baruch of Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur is that annual reliving of the Shitef Ibn Midas Arachim, because Baruch switches on Midas Adin Midas Arachim. What is the moment of shift? What is the moment, the nuance of shift? Where Baruch looks at the world first through the lens of Midas Adin, and then begins to change his approach to us. So the Svarma Kedoshim speak about that shift begins at the moment of Tkir Shofar. Tkir Shofar is that vehicle in Shemayim. Again, hard for us to understand very esoteric things in the Olam HaSoyenim. But the sound of the Shofar is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu switches from Midas Adin to Midas Rachamim. How do we know that? So that is expressed in Chazal, in the Nuscha Baruch. When the Anshei Kness HaGdol B'Sachid, the Nuscha, the Baruchas for Shoshana, so they added on a word, Baruch Hashem, Shemaya Kol Truas Am Yisrael, Barachamim. Because Tkir Shofar is the beginning of Midas HaRachamim. It's the switch from Rosh Hashanah mode to Yom Kippur mode. It would be entirely inappropriate for the Yesodos to be Chozeres, the Yovel, on Rosh Hashanah. It would be entirely inappropriate for the Avadim to go free on Rosh Hashanah. Because to go free on Rosh Hashanah is a Zman of Din. A Zman of Din is not a time when a guy can have a time, I want my field back. It's not a time you can have a time that I want to go free now. You have to wait for two things to happen. You have to have Tekiah Shofar, and it has to be Yom Kippur. So the Torah creates a new mitzvah for us. We have a Tekiah Shofar on Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim, the day of Kul Rachamim. Tekiah Shofar, the mere vehicle of Rachamim. Those two things join forces together. That creates the Chetimtza for the person to leave. The Adam, Havadu L'Olam, gets transformed to be not L'Olam Mamash, but L'Olam Shal Yovel. And the Mechiras HaTzadus, which we thought was L'Olam, the Arzal Sibachim Tzvisus, no, Midas HaRachim wins over and allows the sons to go back. What gave the Kachas to Yom Kippur to be able to become a day that was destined to be a day of Rachamim? Because back to the very first Yom Kippur, Midas HaDin dictates that we should not be sitting here today. Midas HaDin dictates, as the Pasuk says in Kisisa, that when the Kadosh Baruch Hu sees the Chet HaEgel, Achalel Sam Kiraga, that Klal Yisrael deserved total complete destruction. To be Chet and Egel by the mountain, by the foot of Har Sinai. It's such a Chet, such a profound Chet, that Klal Yisrael should disappear off the face of the earth. That's Midas HaDin. By Chal Moshe, Spanashim Lakov, Moshe Rabbeinu invokes, not Midas HaDin, he invokes Midas HaRachamim. And finally, Kadosh Baruch Hu teaches Moshe Rabbeinu to transmit the Klal Yisrael Midas HaRachamim, Hashem Hashem Karach Khan, Yudgim Midas HaRachamim, were given to Klal Yisrael on that very first Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim is a day that becomes endowed with the ultimate Midas HaRachamim, and it is only that Midas HaRachamim has the ability for Yevil to kick in. It's not surprising, we spoke about this Yom Kippur time in the past, not surprising that Yom Kippur becomes the day of Midas HaRachamim, between the way we express Midas HaRachamim to our fellow man, and in turn becomes the day that Kadosh Baruch Hu expresses his Midas HaRachamim to us. Because it's only when a person is chaymer, berochem, rachim, to be mechesed to one another, only when we look out for one another, when we try to go above and beyond, when we just have been in our dealings with other people, even if people hurt us and harm us and cause us aggravation, so we look the other way, and we're mevate, we're meichel. Only when a person is willing to be act in midas harachim to his fellow man, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu looked to us for rachim as well. So the model of Parshas Mahar, the model of Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, is a model that speaks to us not just for the Zman Shel Yovel Noeg, but it addresses us in our entire lives, entire interpersonal relationships, invoking midas harachim, and by such we can be zeichet to become a rachim shemayim. That was just what we wanted to say. Okay, but is anybody getting cool in here? Is it very warm in here? It's extremely stuffy in here, no? Okay, so first thing we do is open the door. The mask is definitely not helping. Okay, the first thing we do is open the door. Okay. Even though it is Sunday, it's still, and it's not an official Shia, but we are still on university property, so I don't know. Okay. Maybe we'll be safe. Okay, Rabbi Isai. Let's pick up where we left off. Back to the world of Baltimore. So we're dealing with this phenomena that Tosfos raises, that some mitzvahs require shechiyonu, and other mitzvahs don't get shechiyonu. And Tosfos is right in highlighting that there are some yesh v'yesh, but that every single example of Taisa's list is agreed upon by everybody is subject to debate. But the basic surah of the sugya, that sukkiyah, lulaviyah, tidirabaniyah, till we don't really find, till we don't really find, the basic surah is correct. The Taisa is searching for what's the rule, what's the common denominator of all these mitzvahs. The Taisa develops the aside, mitzvah sheish rem simcha. So the Balamor picked up on this Taisa and said that explains why Sfiras Olamim there's no Shechiyonu. We spoke a lot about the two nuances of the Balamor. But then the Balamor goes to use this theme to explain away the Gemara, very last sugya in Maseches Pesachim. I'm sure everyone made a scene this year in Maseches, don't finish Maseches the Gemara. Okay, good. Very last sugya in Maseches Pesachim about Shechiyonu and Pidgin HaBen. The Gemara says there's a Shechiyonu on Pidgin HaBen. The Gemara is not sure who makes the Shechiyonu on Pidgin HaBen. The Gemara is a subject who remembers and the Chavala who remembers for the Tutsfadim. Either the father makes the Shechiyonu or the Kohen makes the Shechiyonu. What's the Svar to say that the father makes it? Because he's the Isis HaMitzvah. What's the Svar to say the Kohen makes it? Because he's making a few dollars on it. So it sounds from the Gemara that suffix is not just the technicality of who makes it, but it's a more fundamental question what the essence of that Shechiyonu is. Because there are multiple different shechiyanos that we find. We find shechiyanos which are mitzvah oriented, And then we find Shekhinah is just the nice, happy things in the world. Like the Gemara talks about Kani Kelim Chadoshim makes a Shekhinah. All the nice, happy things happen, and that makes a Shekhinah. Eat new fruit, Shekhinah. So it sounds like almost the Gemara is not sure what type of Shekhinah is this. Is it a Shekhinah or it's the mitzvah, therefore it's appropriate for the father to make it? Or is it a Shekhinah or it's the Seris Tavis kind of thing, like a good thing, just a happy kind of thing? So therefore, the Shekhinah would be more apropos for the Kohen. He's the one who's walking away with a couple of extra dollars. So the Gemara concludes with Hilchas Avia Beim of Shekhinah. So the conclusion is that it's the father that makes it. So by making that statement, we figure from the Gemara that the Ika Shekhinah via Pidgin Ben is on the mitzvah Shemayim. There is a discussion in the Acharonim. Does the Gemara mean to say, therefore, the other tzad of the Kohen receiving the money was rejected? And that's not a Shekhinah. The Kohen is talking about Mokhtiv and Shekhinah Bechlau. Is that the Shah in the Gemara? Or the Gemara says, Hilchas Avia Beim, but the Gemara's conclusion is that of course there's a dual Shekhinah over here. That wasn't even a Sofet. The Gemara knew right away that the father's Mokhtiv al Tzmitzvah, the Kohen's Mokhtiv al Tzmitzvah, or some else. The Gemara wanted to know when you have two Shekhinahs or two people, why should both of them say it? But one person said, they might say the other one, which is the Ika Shekhinah, which is the more important Shekhinah? Hilchas Avia Beim Mevorech. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that the father Shekhinah is the more important one, and therefore let him be mighty the Kohen. That's what Tzemach HaRan HaGachumra, that you should whisper to the father, to the Kohen, right before he says Shekhinah. So you should whisper to him that, by the way, you should have in mind to be mighty the Kohen in the Shekhinah. So it's a Shaila Nechorim. So it's a mitzvah dip to Shekhinah. What's the great simcha? Again, there's the Balamor theory, the Taizos theory. But you have to have a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha. What's the grace of simcha by a pidyon aven? I mean, pidyon aven's are nice. They're definitely less stress for the bris, and for sure, the mother's usually in a much better mood than in a bris. But Rabbi say, what's the great simcha? What's what about more? What about more say? The Baruch Hashem, the baby survived. The baby's a month old. The Gemara says that for the first 30 days, there was a suffix. They felt, we don't know sure when the baby's going to survive. Baruch Hashem, the baby made it, and therefore it's a grace of simcha. Anyone understand this Balamor? What's the problem with the Balamor? Not so simple, not so fast here. A whole complicated sugya that you raised. What's the problem with the Balamor? Balamor said the grace of simcha is the fact that the baby survived.
Also,
a good question. That's the simple. That's the Chayav Shechian. The simcha of the baby surviving. You're still born 30 days. That's it. One of the babies not a firstborn. One of them a kain. What if my wife's a baslavi? What if it's a C-section? What if it's a girl? I'm not happy. The baby surviving. A nice little baby. 30 days. Yay! Wait, wonderful. What's the Balamor talking about? So obviously the Balamor meant this as a Zoe. Not every joyous occasion always warrants a Shekhinah. I'm happy about a lot of things in the world. But not everything warrants a Shekhinah. Mitzvah Samachad Meshachinah. What kind of mitzvah? Mitzvah Sheshem Simcha. The fact that I'm happy that the baby survived is a beautiful, wonderful thing. I can give halavah to the Rebbe, that's Mishkan Shekhinah. But if I'm doing a mitzvah, that the mitzvah carries with it that additional joy, that dimension of joy, the baby survived, that kind of a mitzvah is a b'chayiv Shekhinah. So it's not the simcha that's a b'chayiv, it's the mitzvah of b'chayiv Shekhinah. The simcha is just a way to categorize this as a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha. This is not a depressing mitzvah like Svira. This is not a neutral mitzvah like Titzis. This is a happy mitzvah like Shefa, like Begil, like Teres Chanukah, because of that added dimension to the mitzvah. Not kind of a Balamor needs a lot more work than that. What would you say about the following? What would you say if, let's say, I'm doing a mitzvah, it's not a particularly joyous kind of mitzvah, but I'm doing a mitzvah of tzitzis. I haven't worn tzitzis in a long time. I'm putting on tzitzis right now, and tzitzis is not labeled as a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha, but it happens to be at the same time that I'm putting on my tzitzis, I got this great, just got a phone call, just got a text, I'm really involved, I'm so excited. I'm not excited about my tzitzis.
I'm excited about, I don't know, give me some what gets you guys excited?
Stock market.
The stock market, okay. It's just been a lot of money, okay? Like my favorite team, right? I don't know. The Phillies just won again, right? I guess some really exciting thing just happened, okay? You know, I just did a bit of an LSAT. I don't know. Just got my vaccine. I don't think there's some really things that make me feel really happy these days. And it happens to be at the same time they're putting my tits on. So you make sure, yeah, it's on us. So it's a moment of time. So the baby survived, Mazel Tov, very nice. We'll make a nice plot. Baby made it to 30 days. But it's a bit of it. So obviously, for the most shot to be true, there has to be a correlation between the mitzvah's pigeon of bed and the survival of the baby. Because if there's no connection, no pun intended on this, a living or dead, no connection between this, so then what is that? How does the joy of the baby surviving transform the pigeon of bed when it's just simple? So then you would have said that just simply the survival of the baby is enough of a mechayah for Shech Mianu. So then again, I don't need the connection between the two. But that's clearly absurd, because that would be true, then you make Shech Mianu on girls also, and Shech Mianu on non-bechoras also. So obviously the Balmor is to connect the dots. Oh, we can even use a marker. Oh, what do I say? You haven't done this in a year and a half, okay? So we have to connect. Finally, it wouldn't have worked if it was. To mitzvah, you gotta have a connection between the two. These two things are married to one another. So according to the Lamar, we have to touch up a little bit. Not only in the simcha of Yetzias B'Day Meifel, the mitzvah should be. So the famous Machlekes Rashi and Beis that appears in the Bakama Daf Yud Aleph. It appears in the Cheres Daf Mem Tes also, but nobody knows it from there. So more Yeshiva Bacham no Bakama Daf Yud Aleph. Machlekes revolves around the following. Anyone's here for June's run for Asher Yuan online? Is Asher here? No? Okay. I think this was June's run back to what did we learn about the Kabbalah mission? Come here. You were with us, Bamkab? You were June's run? Did we get to the Choshen Yitrov?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. What is the woman? Okay. So the famous book of the Kabbalah of Yirah from the base, where the Gemara has the following thing. How do you know if a baby was nitrof? I don't want to translate it yet. Was nitrof within 30 days of its birth? How do you know there's no mitzvah pidyon? Ach means not completely, not totally. Ach means you don't have to do it totally. Like the Gemara says, ach, it says by Yom Kippur, ach, by Sol HaKadosh, Ach is a meal, it's saying that Yom Kippur is machapel a shavim and machapel a shavim shavim. If you don't do shuv, you don't get the kavar of Yom Kippur. Quick, we passed it. So Ach always means that what I'm about to tell you has a little bit of a limitation to it. So Ach padisifte, Teshuva Peh says, no, sometimes you don't have to be paid. When do you not have to be paid? It's a nitra patech lamidim. Plus mate, what is the word of the word? To Rosh is it means like this. Nitrof means a sitting for Nero. The baby was killed. The car said, the baby was killed. Says Rashi, the baby was killed before day 30, before day 31. So I would have thought you have to pick it up. Why is that? So Rashi gives you a whole background. Rashi says, if the baby dies naturally, Nebuch within 30 days, then it's not, you have to pick it up. Because clearly the baby was an Eifel, the baby wasn't destined to survive in the first place. So obviously the mitzvah pidyon ben doesn't kick in because the baby wasn't really alive. But if never the baby get killed in an accident, I would have thought the rumor is the baby was probably healthy, and therefore you should be bechuyf the pidyon ben. Either the baby's not alive. The fact that the baby's not alive is not a plaintiff for pidyon ben. Let's say a baby lives till 30 days, then Nebuch dies a week later. You didn't get around to doing pidyon ben. Nebuch, tragedies. You have to pidyon ben even for a baby that's no longer alive. So the fact that the baby's not alive now is not a plaintiff for pidyon ben. The plaintiff for pidyon ben is that the baby wasn't viable with chilu. So that's what I would have had a gevaldig haravimina. I would have thought that the baby was nitra for sexual shimyon. Ken zayin is a chiyuv. Come and why not? Ach is a chiyuv. That says no. You don't have to do pidyon ben even though the baby was the nitra for sexual shimyon. That's where Rashi says it. So Tosis says that pshat is impossible. Why is that pshat impossible? Because Tosis says the very basic premise of that entire pshat is flawed. Says Tosis, what in the world does Shleish and Yom have to do with baby being alive? What else does that do with each other? Says Tosfos, the Torah says of two different things. The same way you don't have a shoe, you don't have a throw of the same way you don't blow shofar before Shoshana, you don't even have a Pesach, you don't shake a loop before Sukkot, you don't do a bris before the 8th day, you don't do a forgiven before 30 days. It's like a year's man, the mitzvah hasn't come yet. So you're not mechuyah b'chlam. So says Tosfos, might have to mean that the baby died naturally, died unnaturally. The baby didn't live to this man. I mentioned there's no chiyuv. The Mishnah says the bechir is if the baby lived to day 30, day 31, and then never subsequently died, so the chiyuv kicked in, so the chiyuv continues. But if the baby never made it to day 31, so then there was never chiyuv, there was never chal, there was never neitzah b'chalal. So he says, what in the world does that have to do with neitzah? I'm talking halacha, you're talking biology. What does that have to do with the fact that the pediatricians tell us that if the baby didn't live for 30 days, it could be it was never destined to be alive in the first place. What does that do with it? If the baby didn't make it to day 30, it was never made it. It is manachir. So therefore, Taisa gives you the title of the Shabbos. Taisa says it, the choshnitra mean? Choshnitra doesn't mean the baby died. What does it mean? What does nitra mean? The baby now developed some internal problem. All of a sudden, after 2 weeks, the baby had some kind of illness, some kind of accident, something found got a hole in its lungs. Got a hole in some hole in its heart. It's a trace from it. It's still alive. I didn't say alive. Well, it's alive. The baby's still 100% alive. And the baby is alive at day 31 also. But it's already been diagnosed as being a trace from. So I would have thought the baby's alive. So it's alive. You have to do pigeon a bit. Kamash blood. Ach, no. Even though the baby's alive. If it's already a nitro pesach shemir, you have to pinjam it. But Rashi's fundamental pshat that the baby getting killed is different from the baby dying naturally. If the baby died naturally, I don't need a pulse. The baby getting killed, I do need a pulse because naturally shows that it never survived. Getting killed doesn't prove that. That entire pshat Rashi is flawed, says Tosfos, because it's assuming that the 30 days is a function of the biology, of the pediatrics, of the neonatology. Of the baby surviving or not surviving. But it says that 30 days has nothing to do with the baby surviving or not surviving. So Rabbi said, we have a major machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here. Everybody agrees Pidyon Ben starts after 30 days. That's a halachic fact. Everybody agrees there's a biological fact that for the first 30 days, we're not really sure if the baby's going to make it. Is there any correlation between those two things? According to Tosfos, those are purely coincidental. The mitzvah's pidyon ben is chal on day 31, not because of the biology. According to Rashi, no. The mitzvah was given dafka b'chi ha'gam, the dafka this tour because of the biology. The Torah Mada, according to Rashi. The same Rebbeinu Shlomo who gave us Torah, gave us the Zman HaMitzvah, was the one who created the science, the biology of the Mada of the 30 days. And Rebbeinu Shlomo said the 30 days of pidyon ben kick in, the mitzvah kicks in dafka now at the time when we're celebrating the fact the baby survived. According to Tosfos, those are two totally completely happened to coincidentally appear on the same day after the baby's life. Nothing to do with one another. Nope. So if I say, it is clear as day which side the Balamor laid it on this Machlokes. Balamor is telling me that the mitzvah pidyon ben is a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha. What's the simcha? The fact that the baby survived. So we said it's clear that survival of the baby, just a sheer joy as an external thing, nothing to do with the mitzvah proper, does not get a kick in a chiyuv of shechiyanu, because you don't say shechiyanu on girls, it's shechiyanu on my first one, it's shechiyanu on Karan Levin. So obviously, it has to be a mitzvah sheyesh b'simcha, but you have to connect the dots between the simcha and the mitzvah. According to the worldview of Rashi, we connect those dots. According to the worldview of Tosfos, those are two, that's like caring that the fillies won the same day that you're putting on tzitzis. They're not doing each other. But it's clear that the Balamor's sheep, if it to survive, has to be in the world of Rashi. Who's right? Rashi and Tosfos. Chutzpah asked the question, what do we think? So we just did, oh, it didn't come into fun. It's like, you're like the old days. Wow. The market's got to dry out. I got to get the back ones. Mr. Olson's got to buy me new ones. We got a lot of stuff to look forward to next year, Mr. Chef. Okay, so we have a dinner plan with Yelim, a pigeon of hen. We're not sure. Is it Rashi's trap that this has to do with a chashash of Neifel, or it's Tosfos Pshat that it's Moshe's Man HaMitzvah, and the Balamor must be part of Rashi's theme. No? What do you say?
This is an aside. Remember the way I read the Tosfos on Thursday? Who jumped at me about the reading of the Tosfos? I forgot.
Joshua.
Josh attacked me on it. So until Thursday, I always read that Tosfos is saying that Tosfos couldn't figure out what the greatest symptoms were pitting about. Right? So that was Tosfos Shitasim. Because Tosfos in Bava Kamma are the ones who said there is no simple picture. So for years, I even wrote up my sefer, I think, 30 years ago. So I crossed out that picture. Now it's that cash. Okay, back to the show. No? What? Who's right? Okay. Who's right? No? Who's right? Rashi and Tosfos. And then Ryan, what would Tosfos cash to get to? What did Tosfos just destroy Rashi's trap for? What prompted Tosfos to think Rashi's trap was wrong? Anyone saw? Did I put the Tosfos in my recovers? So it's going to cover it all? Wow, you're kidding.
No, I
did. Oh, no, it's all. Okay. You know?
What was that? Right,
oh, so the Tosfos had two hours against Rashi. First of all, Tosfos said Rashi's right. Let's say I know Baruch HaKadosh that this baby is a full-term baby. I know this baby's going to survive. How do I know that? So the Gemara Nida says that for men of Amur, we have to wait 30 days for the biology to kick in. That's if you're not sure when the baby is a full-term baby. Baby may have been 8 months, 9 months. They're not sure exactly how developed this baby is. In the olden days, it was very hard to know that. But if a baby's born, I think it's probably a full-term. I don't really know when the woman became pregnant. So therefore, you have to wait it out 30 days. What if you know with absolute certainty this baby is what's called kolo chadosha? How do you know that? Very simple. The couple had relations and the husband went out of town for the next 6 months. We know when she got pregnant. So we know for a fact this baby is a full-term baby. The Gemara says, then you don't have to wait 30 days for say it's a vada baby. What's it's a vada baby? And then after the dina. Let's say a baby within 30 days dies, there's no avelus. Because it's a suffix halacha. They were making me over with suffix avelus those the kulos. But if you know kolo chadasha, then there would be avelus. Hey, Shigamar. So comes Tyson and says, if Rashi is right, that the whole reason for the waiting 30 days to pidgin ben, really you should pidgin ben when the baby's born. The only reason you wait is because the halacha is reflecting that biological concern of suffix nefel. If it would be kolo chadasha, then everything would be over. Then it would be different. Then the chayish should pidgin ben right away. No, that's what would follow if Rashi's right. And Tai says, we never heard of such a thing. But if I go over here, they can't do anymore. Right? They can. Wow, this is amazing. It just goes all directions. So if Rashi's right, that the whole thrust of the day of 30 days is only a reflection of the mitzias and the biology, so then if it's called a chadasha, so the king is on, you should pick your bed on day one. You're waiting until day 31. So do it right away. And then he says, well, Shemana doesn't demand. Never heard of such a crazy thing. There is not such a law like this. What's true? What's true? So come to Parit Al Ghazi. You want to know where Al Ghazi is? Parit Al Ghazi wrote this safe from a set of Bechiris. Yeah, I mean, I'm not, right. Forget about Rishi's cut. Yeah, that's cute. I mean, that's cute. My safe is like this, like that. That's cute. So the bar, and my safe here for this quote, Mar Al-Ghazi. So Mar Al-Ghazi was a Svidish Agoin who decided to write anything and everything you wanted to know about the second verse. He wrote it on the Hilchas Becharis HaRamban. It's interesting, the Rif, for some reason, did not write on the Becharis. The Rif only wrote on the Sefer that was a Gela Maisa. And for some reason, Becharis, which is so much Becharis, is a Maisa. But the Chamor, Islamaisa, Bukhar Baby Torah, there's none of the Islamaisa parts of it, the Jabet Islamaisa, there's a good chunk of the Chorus that's Islamaisa. And for some reason, the Rift didn't write over that, shows up for sure. So the Ramban wrote, unless the Rift did write it, that lost, I don't know, I'm not sure. About. But the Ramban wrote, I hope it's the Chorus of Ramban, kind of like as if the Rift would have written it, the same style, almost the same style as the Rift. So it's printed in the back of the second verse. The Marat Al-Ghazi wrote a running paper. Hundreds and hundreds of pages of anything and everything he ever wanted to know about the Adonai Masechta. It was the same. You couldn't learn the Torah without, you know, every single matter. That was the Yisari Yisavs. Everything was in the matter. So my first book of Torah, so we broke our teeth. We didn't read every matter. But you know, well, occasions we look things up. The break, my eyes on the bar, it was tiny print. like a week after we finished. So the new Marit Avraham came out in block print with Marmikonis with footnotes.
So at the time, so I was involved. This goes back over 30 years already. I was involved with Blind Svarim for Russell Weiss, something. There's a couple of guys in the Spanish, like they would consult with us what we thought the Beis Medrash needed, you know, to be at the Svarim sale. So I said, we got to get the Gazi for the Beis Medrash, because I needed my Gazi. So I needed, so I got to get my Gazi. And then that same year, I was the Marsha Kolo counselor, so I wasn't married. So I was still the Marsha Kolo counselor for 7 years. I was a Gazi. So I was also in charge of Blind Svarim for Marsha Kolo. So I insisted to call my dad for Marsha Kolo. And I was living with Rabbi Feldman at the time, so I put a Marsha Gazi, he put a Marsha Gazi, we bought one for the Spanish, and we bought one for Marsha. So the firm seller bought like five Marsha Gazi, and we bought four out of five of them. They were so impressed that I asked them if it was really happening, but the rumor was that the following year they bought a whole bunch of new ones because they figured it was such a big hit the first time around, they didn't know what it was. They're still probably sitting somewhere in the bottom of the first bowl, so like 400 Marsha Gazi. So if you want, I'll describe it. Anyway, so in the same Marsha Gazi, so he addresses this topic. He raises this question, how can we forever for Rashi Shuk? But the Gazi explains the Yisrael. There are two ways to determine whether a baby has biologically reached the point where he no longer chashash nefesh. One is an objective number that the Torah gives. 30 days. That's tachas. Point to Rashi, it's actually learned out from the parasha pinyon, but that's the shir. Then there are other ways that we can figure out on our own. We can use our own, our own science, our own technology. We can do our own studies. We can figure out, based on the fact that the couple had relations, 10 months ago, we know, we figured it out. We've got a quantitative biological, assumptions. We came to the conclusion. It's what's called Kol HaKadoshim. It says about Targazi. But the title is Gerezer, the mitzvah pidyon then, in 30 days. Avada, the Kavanah Satayr was because of the Chashash of Kol HaKadoshim, because of the Chashash of Kol. It's not arbitrary, not just coincidentally that the number 30 is the same. It's not a Zman HaMitzvah, like Taisa said. The goal of 30 days is to reach the point of no longer being Chashash of Kol. But the time is gazed, it almost like a whole plug. Once the time was gazed at 30 days, the Torah said, the only way to be yaitzei for chashash nefel is through the vehicle of 30 days. That's it. No other vehicle will be acceptable. For other areas of Allah, the other vehicles will be acceptable. You want to know whether there's avemus, so then you do the science, you have to be an ecologist, whatever they tell you. If it's called chadashim, then the baby is considered to be a vade child. But when it comes to Mr. Pidyaben, linked to the Gzeres HaKazim through the Chiddush Kiftah, is saying that the regular klal of Birur don't apply. So it's not shot that the 30 days has nothing to do with Chashash Nefesh. Everything you want to do with Chashash Nefesh. But the Torah is saying, Gzeres HaKazim, that this is the only way to be revived. It's an finishing Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, albeit not Legabe Pinyon Ben, Legabe something else. There's a din, a very, very simple, it's a parallel din. It's not actually connected to it. But it says it takes 30 days to figure out that a human baby has survived. How long does it take to figure out that an animal has survived, that an animal birth is a viable birth? Anyone know? 8 days. But it says in Rosh Hashanah, if an animal is born, after 8 days, you can assume that it's a viable, healthy baby. The Gemara says, what if before 8 days, you don't know? My nafkamina? Let's say a shechta. It's chud. If you shecht an animal within 8 days, you're not allowed to eat that animal. You know why? Because you don't know whether it was an eifel or not. If it was an eifel, then it was dead. If it was dead, then you didn't shecht it. If it's dead by itself, what do we call that? An eifel, right? So you have to assume if you shecht an animal before its 8th day birthday, so that's a chashash of the baby. Chashash of the baby. After 8 days, you're good to go. What if it's kol chadoshim? What if I know for a fact that this baby is a full-term animal? The vets examined, they did the sonogram, and they said, 100% certainty this baby is a full-term baby. What's the deal? Then the Gemara says, then you're allowed to shech even within 8 days. Because the whole reason you can't shech within 8 days is because it's a chashash of nefel. But Kol Chadasha is a way of ascertaining that it's not a Chashash Mekol anymore. The Gemara Befesh Rosh Hashanah says it. But the Gemara says, what's the din if you have a korban? Ramat the animal is a korban, and you want to bring the animal within 8 days. Can you do that? What does the Torah say? Shibis Yamim Tachas Imal, Omi Yamim Shmini Bahali, Ratz Bukam Yishol Hashem. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, and what if I know that the baby is Kol Chadasha? I know that this baby is a perfectly healthy baby at day five. You know what the Gemara says? You can't shecht it as a korban. For chulin, you can shecht it. But for korban, you can't shecht it. Why? So Rashi explains, even though the din of a Yom HaShemini of a Holy Ratzah, it also to be might to be the Chashash Nefel. But once the Torah's gezer is man, once the Torah sets up a number of days on the calendar, it's got to reach its 8th day birthday. That 8th day birthday is a light plug. It's across the board. And even if you can figure out a chitimta biologically to prove otherwise, for chulin that works. For all the dini Torah works. Except for the area where the Torah spells out explicitly the Yom HaShemini. The Torah says the words Yom HaShemini, you have to wait Yom HaShemini. Don't ask any cash. Don't be so smart. The Shemitah of Dagazi, it's exactly the same to parallel halacha like Pidyon Rabban. That for all the dini Torah, for Avelis, for Tich, for all that, usually, whatever other din of halacha, depending upon whether the baby is alive or not. So either you can figure it out based on 30 days, you can figure it out based on Kol HaChadoshim. But when the Torah speaks about, it gives you the number in print. In this area of halacha, such as Pidyon Rabban, such as the Gabi 8 days for the bringing our korban, then no chokhmah is going to work. It has to be exactly 8 days and exactly 30 days. No one knows. So we know the dust settles on my side. We still have a running machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, there is a real connection between the biological facts of the viability of the baby and the mitzvah Pidyon Rabban. And that seems to be in sync with the Balamor, that therefore that grants a degree of simcha to the mitzvah Pidyon Rabban that otherwise wouldn't have. According to Tosfos, well, it's when we own. It's like putting on tzitzis as the Phillies are winning. Who's having a good season? Doing okay, really?
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, okay. Larry Bell is still playing for them. I don't know. Mike Schmidt doesn't play there anymore. What? Not anymore. I left off in the 70s. Okay. My entire knowledge of the game baseball was frozen in time. Okay. I still think of the world of Johnny Bench and Pete Rose and Big Red Machine. We left off.
Okay.
But Tosfos didn't stop here. Tosfos had another cash against Rashi. Who saw the other cash? Spake, spake. Suffolk, whether you saw the Marmon Kermis, into the Marmon Kermis, and you see this part of Marmon Kermis. Three spakes. Into the Columbia Sword, did you understand it? You're what's up? You remember it? No? Stop it. No? You want to get the last cash? Tosfos says, I'll bring you back. Tosfos says, if Rashi is right, and by extension, the Balmor is right, that the 30 days are not really written in stone. The 30 days are simply a way of ascertaining that it's no longer an eighth. Let's say Baruch Hashem, the baby made it past its first month birthday. Wow, it's 33 days old. When did the Chiyuv of Pidyon Rabban really start? According to Rashi. If the whole purpose of the 30 days was just to prove it wasn't an eighth, once I prove it, it's not an eighth, Igloy knows, so when did the mitzvah really begin? The baby was born, Pashas, right? According to Tosfos, that's ridiculous. According to Tosfos, that the 30 days has nothing to do with biology. The 30 days is a zman, a mitzvah. So that's like a silly saying, well, the baby makes it 8 days. Igloy knows what's happening bris from day one. No, it wasn't. The bris is on the 8th day. That's like saying, if a person makes it to Rosh Hashanah, Igloy knows he was chayv and kishof from Pesach. The zman and mitzvah didn't come here. So according to Tosfos, of course, this modern mitzvah kicks in mikalahaba. Once it reaches 31st day kicks in, the mitzvah begins with mikalahaba. But according to Rashi, the mitzvah goes back retroactively. Abba Zoi, that the mitzvah goes back retroactively, says, Tosfos, I have a kasha. Rashi, you're against the Mefarshei Gemara. That's what Gemara says the first. Rabbi Chaim says the following, it's fascinating. Just had a firstborn, after the pitch of Ben. I look at my schedule and I say, Gavala, I'll be out of town in 2 weeks. I won't be able to do a video, but I want to knock it off now before I go on vacation. So I come to the client and I say, listen, the baby's only 2 weeks old now. I'm going to give you the money now, but I can't make the baby ben michal now. I said, it's not the mitzvah yet. That's what I'm doing now. So I'm a real lamed. What do I say to the client? I give him the money, and the pinter ben should be chal when? I'll give you the cash now. We'll make the party now. I'll have the tzuda now. I'll give you the money and hold on to it for 2 weeks. And 2 weeks from now, then the mitzvah should take effect. Now that's such a fine concept. You can be with cash initially after shloishim. You can be garish initially after shloishim. You can sell fields after shloishim. There's a concept of being a king in the achazman. I think like the kedusha hitting the sugars like this. So why can't I do a pinter ben the after shloishim? The boy says you're right. You can divide it as follows. If I give the money to the client now and I say, listen, hold on to the money, put it in your drawer, hold on, don't spend the money now for the next 2 weeks. When the 31st day comes, the pinter ben shebichal, then the Gemara says, for sure that works. Why? Because Lamaisa, the client has the money on day 31. But you need a formal picking up of the money. I got to give you the money now. The client has the money. That's good enough. Irrelevant to what we spoke about yesterday in the Shia. But picking up that, if Lamaisa, the client has the money, it's good to go. I was just not sure about the following. What's the deal if I give the client the money now and I say, go spend the money now? But have in mind, the pinter ben is in chal till 2 weeks from now. The client goes and he buys himself a very expensive slice of pizza, $100. Buys himself pizza, ice cream. And by the time the day pinter ben comes, there's no money. Pinter ben chal and chal. So my is never heard. So comes Tosfos and says, according to you, Rashi, that the mitzvah was chal, the chiyuv was chal of Afreya. What is it about when you see a talmid and machlokes Rav and Shmuel and the test and the chayrus, where the money has to be intact or not? It doesn't matter whether the money is intact or not. Typically, the mitzvah was chal retroactively. That Tosfos gash. So Zevin Pedos says Tosfos, you see clear that the mitzvah is not chal retroactively. The mitzvah is chal mikal lahava. So then you have to explain. So why does the machlokes Zemar run? But Taisa says it can't be otherwise. What's Tron and Rashi? Very powerful kasha. Very powerful kasha. How could there be a day in the Gemara that says, Pinter ben's not chal, it's chal on Afreya? You know what the Marit Al-Ghazi says? Should be the little lines, between lines. Says the Marit Al-Ghazi, believe it or not, that goofba was the machlekes in the Gemara. That was not like this. Rashi says, "Is Pinter ben chal mafreya not? Why should you say it's chal mafreya? If you hold that the 30 days is just al chashash meifel, then it's chal mafreya. If you hold that it's there al zman mitzvah, that's not chal mafreya. So Tyson's jumping at Rashi. How dare can you say it's chal mafreya? So Rashi would say, I agree according to one day and I'm a run and stop, but I passed like the other day." So according to Mishnah, we'll tell the Marit Al-Ghazi, Ben Rashi, and Tosfos Kasha, comes out, this shayla that we're having, is Shloshim Yayim a function of Chashash Neifel, Chashash was a function of Mana Mitzvah, is not just the Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos, Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Machlekes Amoran, the Hilgam Amoran would fight this there. You find this very often. Initially, we thought we discovered a Machlekes yesterday. The Mishnah are arguing about this. The guy, you know, the Amoran, the Tanayim, back the days of Mashamed, this is an ongoing, unresolved issue in Halacha. This lumbus is all, everyone's reading the same sukkim. The person's reading the Torah, and they're reading their neonatology book at the same time. And by golly, the doctor's a thing. 30 days, and the Torah said, what do you make of that? So is that Torah Ma'adah? It's mamash the same thing? Or is that Torah? Ma'adah. Two different. One the Shavuot. Is Torah Ma'adah one unit? Or is Torah Ma'adah two different disciplines? According to Rashi, it's all the same thing. It's all intertwined. The halacha is a reflection of the ma'ado. According to Taisa B'chola, the Torah is true and the ma'ado is true, but they're not the same world. It's very fascinating. So, Rabbi Sai, how do we get into this Rashi and Taisa? How do we get to Sol Sugi B'chairis? Because this is the background for the Balamor. Anyone who doesn't buy into the Balamor is a model. Anyone who thinks that the Shloshim Yom have nothing to do with Chashash Neifel, I'm going to have a lot of trouble finding a simcha pinter ben. I mean, it is a nice thing. It's also nice. It's going to be hard to find a real simcha. It's going to be mechayiv. So quite frankly, we're not sure that simcha is the way to go on this one. Just because Taisin and Malamora walked us down the path of Simcha, that's the Mechaiva, that's the engine driving all the Shechianos, we're not even sure that's true. Pidyon Ben may not be, may not fit into the model. So they say, which Rishon do we know who didn't buy into the entire model? They didn't buy into the Simcha model of Taisin. They didn't, for sure didn't buy into this whole Pidyon Ben story. The reason why you're saying Shechiyon of Pidyon Ben has nothing to do with Simcha. For that matter, the reason why I say Shechiyon, any other given mitzvah don't do with Simcha. Remember, Tosfos had a problem. Tosfos was discovering mitzvahs. Remember, what were all the mitzvahs Tosfos rattled off? Who remembers? Sukkah was Agamara, Lul was Agamara, Chanukah was Gemara Shabbos, right? Tosfos quoted that, but he quoted that Mikra Megillah, it was Gemara the third pack of Megillah. Right? We have a lot of mitzvahs. But Tosfos says, what's the common theme? The common denominator? It's just simple. It comes the Rambam, it was brachas, it came with a totally different theme. Legamri, different theme. It was a different theme. Nothing to do with Simcha. Has to do with what? It's a mitzvah habo, I mean, what? It's not lazman. As the phrase sounds, lazman hazeh. You know, while more in places we're focusing more on that, shechiyonu, v'kiyamanu, v'giyonu. They're so happy, thrilled. We're like, well, actually, we're thrilled today. And the Rambam is a real hardcore snagging. I can't kill us whether you're smiling or crying right now. That doesn't do anything. As man as that's a din. You reach the milestone in life. It's a mitzvah kavul is man. A mitzvah bom is man is man. You make shechiyonu a mitzvah bom is man. Not a mitzvah that are not z'man oriented. And that explains lulu, sukkah, shofar. There's Megillah and there's Chanukah, all of the above. Which one, of course, doesn't it explain? Sure. Well, maybe there is no Shechiyonu too. Maybe there's for other reasons the Rambam says, but not part of this. Which one doesn't explain the Gemara? If the Rambam's right that only mitzvahs which are born is man zman require Shechiyonu, which mitzvah is glaringly difficult? Pidyon Ben. Pidyon Ben doesn't come every year. This person has a lot of wives, a lot of firstborns all the time. That's not what's going on here. So why is Pidyon Ben get a bracha of Shechiyonu of us? So who has this kasha? The Rambam. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam creates a subcategory of bonus mamas moms. You know what it is? A mitzvah she'ena mitzuya. A mitzvah that's very rare. It doesn't have to be mizman as a day in the calendar that it comes. It has to be something which is, it's not expected. It's kind of out of the, you know, something I haven't done in a while. So things that are not done for a whole year, like shishichi yibes chedesh. I don't know. What's the source for that? Anyone know? Shishichi yibes chedesh. It's a Ramban in this expression. The Torah says that yamim tiyek milosa, you can redeem your house and walk city for a year. For a year. So the Ramban says, because for a year, you're still thinking about your house. You still have your mind there. After a year, you forgot about the house and you couldn't care less about the house anymore. So therefore, the Torah takes away the school after a year. So for a whole year has passed since I read the beginning of last year. It's exciting. As long as there, it's above his mom's mind. But a whole year since last Hanukkah, a whole year since last Sukkot, as long as there. So if the Rambam, we have a mitzvah that's Einu Mitzuya. It's been a long, long time since I did Pidyon Ben. I never did Pidyon Ben. And even if I did, a person ends up somehow doing Pidyon Ben more than once in his life. It's not that common. And therefore, that's called a mitzvah bomb. That's like a mitzvah bomb around him. Mitzvah is like a mitzvah bomb around him. That's shit is around him. So according to the Rambam, you don't have to go down the path of the Balamor with Simcha and Maisaloch. The whole thing is wrong. The Rambam doesn't say the word Simcha anywhere in the Shulchan Shavim. Simcha is not the engine that's driving it. It's driving it as a mitzvah bomb itself. Then the Rambam goes one step further. And the Rambam says, and therefore there's another mitzvah. They also say Shechiyonu, one that doesn't appear in the Gemara. But actually, it's a Tosfos list of mitzvahs that you don't say Shechiyonu. The Rambam says you don't. You do. Which one is that? A mitzvah very uncommon. Rarely you do. Bris Milah. How often do you do Bris? The father. I mean, how often does a father get an Bris? It's going to be at least 9 months, because he's having twins, he has many wives. It's not the most common mitzvah. And the other Rambam writes, Chris Milan gets a Shechiyonu also. It's a mitzvah Shechiyonu Mitzuya. Notice that was on the list of places that doesn't get Shechi Yom. The Ram says it doesn't get Shechi Yom. Go prove otherwise. The Gemara doesn't mention it as one of the brachas of Bilam. So the Rambam would say, because it's Muvam Mi'ilam. The Gemara is talking about the Chidush of brachas of Bilam. This is like any other mitzvah Shabbat, Mizman, Mizman. So L'chora, the Rambam had a raya for Bid Yachem, that a mitzvah which is Eid Mitzuya warrants Shechi Yom. Then the Rambam extrapolates from the other brachas of Bilam. One could have argued with the Rambam's extrapolation. What could one have said? Come on, this deal is not as uncommon as Pidyon. Who knows less Pidyon than they went to? Well, what do you go Pidyon? Brismilas, come on. Shem Chamish is another Brismilas. So one could argue that even if the Rambam's right, the mitzvah Shein Mitzuyas are get Shechianu, maybe Brismilas doesn't meet those criteria. But the Rambam says it does. According to Tosfos, who says that everything is revolving around Simcha, Mitzvah Simcha Yeh, Mitzvah Nish Simcha Nish. Why is Brismil not happy? I remember I made two Brismil Brachsha on Zaycha today. My boy said, very happy. Grandson of Brismil, pretty happy. We're not happy with Brismil. Come on, there's no Pachanun. We made all laughs. We make lunch. We make some tuna bagel for lunch also. Come on. Very happy new baby.
Maybe the baby isn't happy.
Oh, so other Mishnah, Tais doesn't quote, but some Mishnah quote, the Gemara says in Ksubis that when you bench by Brismila, you don't say Shasimcha Mono. By Chasana, Shemrach, you make Shasimcha Mono. Because I'll add that to incorporate that little phrase into the Zimun. And the Gemara says specifically by Bris, you don't do that. Why? Shemtsai Dianuka. You're happy, but the baby's not so happy. So some Mishanim write, I think, from Ben Simcha. It's the last person you would have said not to have Simcha. So I think he writes that you don't make, you don't say Shechion by Bris. According to Tosfos' model, because it's not such a happy mitzvah, because of Tzad Dinuka, the same way that we're nervous about Tzad Dinuka, or not say Shasuk, more or the same as Shukha Shechir. So you have an array of different opinions in Rishon, whether we should or should not be saying Shechir by Ebris. So the Ram says, you're not going to do say Shechir by Ebris. I, it's not really Bum, it's Bum, it's Bum, it's Bum, it's Bum, it's not really Bum, that's like Bum, it's. And then you have other Rishonim who could say the Rambam's theory is right, that Ein Mitzuya gets Shechion, but maybe Bris doesn't meet those criteria. And then you have Taisa's model that it's a function of Simcha, and maybe Bris is fall short because it's Tzadi Yanuka. Or maybe not. Maybe Tzadi Yanuka is just a reason not to say the word Shah Simcha the Mange. You can't say the word Simcha with a straight face, the baby's screaming at him. You want to say Shechion? Oh, okay, the baby's crying, but still say Shechion, so it's not clear. So in fact, as I'm sure you're all familiar, there are two different Hagam and Klaishol about this. That the standard Ashkenazi practice in Chutzlaritz is not to say Shechir and Ebris, and the Svaidim do say Shechir and Ebris, and Eretz Yisrael has become the prevalent minhag even for the Ashkenazis. Those have been Ebris in Eretz Yisrael, so may remember that the father usually says they get up and say Shechir and Ebris, but the standard minhag in Chutzlaritz is not.
I can read
the
Shechir beforehand.
You usually don't do Shechir to lift the mitzvahs. Usually you, I mean, you should do a mamish right before. First of all, the baby screaming already was all. When the prep, the baby screaming. And even without that, going to have to show him he wouldn't make Shech Yonu, so then that would be Chashash of Hefset. I don't know, whatever it is. Anyway, the bottom line is a yesh for yesh, but again, it all has to do with this. So the bottom line is we have this running of Lakes to Rishanim, Taisa Balmo on one side, against the Ram on the other side. What is the engine that's driving Shech Yonu by Mitzvahs? So we have a little bit more to talk about. There's a lot more to talk about. So again, tomorrow we'll continue. So remind me tomorrow, there's one other Nekudah about Amor. I want to go back just for a minute because it was relevant in terms of Shir's Aymer. So it was an important Nekudah, even though it wasn't per se part of the Shech Yonah part. So we'll remind me that at the beginning of Shir tomorrow, and then we'll go back to the Shech Yonah. Okay. Take care, everyone. Okay.